happy holidays, everybody. And the best way to celebrate, get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford. Just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, check out BillCurryFord.com for all the deals. They got a tremendous showroom. They will take good care of you with their concierge service. And the biggest point of all, the end-of-year sales, obviously, don't last. They got a big inventory that they want to move, and as a result, the deals are outstanding, and the best value, it's all about value, and the best value you can get is right now, Bill Curry Ford.
Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than $1 per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton, the prince of Pasco County himself. Mr. Ira Kaufman is here, and Ira, we are in a special spot here. You, Lee DeCamper, and I, Steve Isbitz, we are here at Bill Curry Ford, your proud sponsor of everything you do, right here in the showroom, and it's pretty darn cool.
Right up the road from Raymond James Stadium, Dale Mabry on going north on the east side of the road. What a showroom, Lee. This place is beautiful. I've been here three or four times, and they got plans to make it even better. You know, they spend money in this place for upgrades. They're putting in a coffee bar and all kinds of, you know, concierge service, Lee.
From our friends at Big Storm Brewing.
Absolutely.
You know what? I finally saw this today, Ira. By the way, you're exiting this place on a new set of wheels, are you not?
I am. Mm-hmm. Boy, am I excited. I'm looking forward to it. They ask me what I want. I mean, it's like to order. You go into a place and they give you something to
like
order.
Like a deli?
That ain't bad.
Well, you know what? I finally saw something I never saw before. I always wondered how they do it. And I saw them roll in a Mustang and a beautiful, we're looking at it right now, a beautiful F-150.
Gorgeous.
They rolled it from the parking lot into the showroom. And everybody said, well, you dummy, they open up doors. Well, yeah, they open up doors. But the double doors they have here, if you look at the double doors, you'd never dream you could pull in a truck through there. And, man, they inched that sucker in. They backed it in.
Lee, when they backed up that F-150 right in front of me, I said, that's what I want.
Yeah, you did.
It's a beautiful car.
And they took them off, they had two American flag emblems that blended in with the – it was blue. I mean, it was like – it looked really cool. But, yeah, I finally got to see them – not just Bill Curry, but any showroom. How do they bring those in? And I saw them finally.
Steve,
I think
if you walk into the showroom, you're going to walk out with a vehicle. That's just the way it is.
Well, we'll learn more a little bit later. But as we heard before, though, the tremendous end of the year offers and opportunities. BillCurryFord.com. Now, Sage, here we are. We're approaching the final game, and I think we're going to twist things a little bit differently today because this is a bonus podcast, a unique podcast, because we have a special guest coming up. But I want to start with the predictions. Okay, let's start it off that way. We got a game coming up, couple of days, Bucks, Falcons, the season finale. Falcons have been playing better. They are 6-10. No, excuse me, they are 6-9. And the Buccaneers are 7-8.
They've won 5 out of 7, Steve, Atlanta. Yeah.
Exactly. And the Bucks have also won 5 out of 7, if I'm correct with that. So including a win against Atlanta. And we know this is a rare situation, Ira, where I think both teams are playing 100% to win. They're trying to save Dan Quinn's job over there, and they've been going all out with some great victories, beat the 49ers and the Saints on the road. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we know the Bucs situation. They're not taking their foot off the gas. So what do you think of this game? And give me the score. We'll go around the horn.
Well, Lee, I think the Falcons are getting healthy, and the Bucs are not. As soon as I opened my big trap and talked about the health of the Bucks, Godwin and Evans went out, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, Julio Jones is back in form.
Healthy.
Freeman is back. He had a big game last week. Yeah. Ryan just keeps firing away. You know, Ridley's pretty good. They got a tight end named Hooper. They got an offense that's going to really test this Buck defense that played so well against Houston and deserved a better fate. Now, Lee, you know this. You've been with me all year. I am under orders from Buck Nation to pick against the Bucks every week.
Yeah.
People think I'm, you know, I'm a jinx. Now, I did pick the Texans, and the Texans won the game, so I moved up in the standings, but my record still stinks. So I'll start it off, Lee. In that regard, I got to go with the Falcons, the visiting Falcons. You know, Blank's a patient man. Lee, he don't fire coaches willy-nilly. He stuck with Mike Smith through a couple of bad years, finally decided that was enough. Quinn took him to the Super Bowl. I mean, it wasn't 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
And so you got to give him credit for that. I think the Falcons win this game, Lee, and it's always close here in Tampa. You know that. And maybe, may I throw this in here? It is high time the Bucs started winning at home. I'm going to write about that this week. 24-20 Falcons. What do you got, my friend?
That's pretty good. I was going to go with the Falcons with 24. I'll say 24-20 Falcons.
That's the same score I picked.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
That's okay.
24-17.
24-17. What kind of day is Jameis going to have in the season?
Oh, he'll have two picks.
You know, he says a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's Jameis. It's Jameis, you know.
So that would give him an even 30.
That's cool. Well, I can't say three touchdowns because I said 17 points. He'll have as many picks as touchdowns.
Okay.
2-2.
Now, Steve, you're leading. You probably wrapped up the title here.
Right? This is a really weird game. I think the lack of receivers catches up to Winston here. And it sort of did last week in a lot of ways, but it was such a bizarre game because that's what Jameis does. He does bizarre things.
And the reason the game stayed close was the defense played so well for the Bucs.
Yeah, the defense was fantastic. So I have to look at the game, and there's no home field advantage for the Bucs, and you have to take that into account. They just don't play well here. Atlanta closed last year, their season well, similar situation.
Ryan's got better weapons, Steve.
Beat the Bucs. Ryan's got some better weapons, so I hate to do it, but I just don't think the defense is going to be able to do enough. And look, the book on beating the Bucs is throw deep, throw deep, throw deep. And this is an even bigger test, in my opinion, because the Atlanta offense is better overall than the Texans offense. Even though the receivers, oh yeah, they had great receivers. And who was the guy knocked out? I forgot
Will
his
Fuller.
Name. Will Fuller was gone. That's part of that game last week that isn't talked about too much. They lost Fuller.
Take Fuller out. That offense suffers.
You know, it's a big...
Now, Steve, in the game in Atlanta, the Buck defensive line dominated. They roughed up Matt Ryan. You think they could do it again?
They did rough him up, and I think the pass rush is, look, it's playing well. One thing that was very interesting, Ira, before I spit out a number, before you tell me to spit it out, is bits. I didn't write it for the website yet, but Bruce Arians, on his radio show, went out of his way. He was asked about getting Shaq the record, right? Because Shaq is tied with Sapp. And he did not flinch. He's like, oh, hell yeah, we're going to have Shaq blitzing more. No dropping in coverage. I want him to get that record. He deserves it. Let's rack him up. So I was surprised he even went there, but he did.
Yeah, a lot of coaches wouldn't go there.
Yeah, they wouldn't
they
go there.
Hand,
but
yeah.
Look, I think the pass rush will be effective. But ultimately, I just think the weapons are going to win out on Atlanta's side, and the Bucs don't play well at home. So I'm going to go 30-20 Falcons.
Wait till Javier hears this, Lee. He's going to roast us on Twitter. Maybe we deserve it. What's your record, by the way, Stevie?
Go I don't know. I think out. I was, I don't know, two or three ahead of you and one or two ahead of Lee. So
you might be 10-5 or something.
No,
I mean, yeah,
no. I think I was maybe one better than the Bucs. Yeah, maybe one better than the Bucs, 8-7, something like that.
Lee, does it matter to you if the Bucs finish 7-9 or 8-8?
No.
Does not?
No.
Okay. What about you, Ira? You could go through the years of week 17s, right? If you look back in history, and you're 95 years old.
Lee loves to bring up that last pass against the Saints or whatever. That was big. That was big.
Yeah, you know, at the time I thought that was so great it would carry over, and did nothing. The only thing it did was cost the Bucs probably a Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
Well, let's go to last year, right? Let's go to last year. They had a big lead against the Falcons, and they choked the lead away, and they lost. And they got the fifth pick instead of the ninth or the tenth. Now you could say, well, they would have taken Devin Bush. Big deal. It's a wash.
But, or Josh Allen.
But you can't look at it that way because you have to look at the other rounds where you lost ground and all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to root for the Bucs to lose. We don't do that.
No,
the
not at all.
Whistle blows.
No.
You know, play well when the whistle blows. We're going to critique you as such. But
to me, the significance, Lee, is win a freaking home game. Win a freaking home game.
I usually do it by now. But it's always a race with them and the Browns. Who has the worst home record in the post-Chucky era? And it's usually like a game or two away. Every year it's a game or two. And so, well, we'll see. I have no idea what the Browns' home record is. I know they've had a very disappointing year. But I'm starting to feel bad for Todd Monken. Because That's a mess up there.
It is a mess.
And obviously, Freddie Kitchens
on the griddle.
I don't know if Kitchens
is going to survive. Really,
I don't know if he's going to survive. He's on the griddle, certainly.
That T-shirt could have been his Waterloo.
That was so dumb.
Yeah, very dumb.
That was so dumb.
Steve, can you imagine going 5-3 on the road and finishing the season under 500? I mean, that's really despicable.
Well, they're 2-4.
That's a strong word, Lee.
That's a strong word. That's a strong word, but a good word.
They're 2-4 at home, and they lost in England, which was the lost home.
So 2-4 at Ray J.
2-4 at Ray J. Yeah, that's awful. You just can't do that. They have to find a way to make it an advantage, and some of that's on the coach. You have to find a way to get your team playing better at home. You should be able to do that. And, you know, we talk about leadership. We scoff at it sometimes. Or, you know, Lee's got his opinions. We have all different angles we come from. But, you know, the leadership just isn't that strong on this team. And I think you get that reflected a little bit in home game record. You got to have a different approach at home or, you know, it has to show up.
Does this game mean anything for Winston's future, Lee? Or long-term? Or the haze in the barn in that regard?
You would hope yay or nay. I just can't believe it's going to hinge on one game. That's hard to believe.
I'm with him on this, Steve. I think the decision's already been made. I think Winston's coming back. The question is in what capacity. One of our guests is going to offer a franchise tag, and I think that's probably the way to go.
Sunday, you know, a lot of people are big red zone fan people. I'm not. It's way too ADD for me. I got to watch a game. And I was flipping around my NFL Sunday ticket last Sunday. Oh, my gosh, there's some brutal quarterback. I mean, people think Winston's bad. Duck Hodges, and I just, oh, my gosh.
Would Buck Nation freak out if they let Winston take a dip into free agency and decide to go in another direction at this point? Would that be shocking?
It would only shock people if they didn't have another option lined up, right? It wouldn't shock them. Let's say the regime said,
they sign a free agent.
Right, but you have to. You can't let him walk and then sign a free. There's a gap there.
And you're hanging there with Ryan Griffin as your quarterback.
Right, so you have to somehow know in advance that we are, I'll throw a name out there, that we have talked to Teddy Bridgewater's people.
Right.
We got him inked to a 3-year deal at $77 million and plus some incentives, and that's the direction we're going. I think the fans as a whole would be like, okay, well, we have a plan, and we trust Arians, and you'd have people who'd be like, what the hell are you doing? But, well, we trust Arians. We'll go from there. I don't think there'd be a mass freakout, but if you had no plan,
you guys remember the date that you have to franchise somebody?
It's in February, is it not?
Yeah, late February, and then free agency's a few weeks later.
2 weeks later, you generally.
Yeah, I don't. You said there's the hay in the barn. I think the hay's in the barn on him coming back, but I think it's totally up in the air what they pay him. Now, a report came out, Ira, that Winston would be unhappy with the franchise tag or anything less than $30 million a year. What do you make of that?
Well, I say you franchise him for 27, and what's Winston going to do? Sit out the season?
Yeah,
he's going to play? I don't care if he's pissed. Let him be pissed. Play better, and you'll get your $30
million. There you go. As far as the $30 million, I saw the freakout on JoeBucksFan.com. Saw the freakout on Twitter. I don't think that's outrageous. But then again, I know what other quarterbacks are being paid. And I also know, and I think this is it, people don't realize this or it won't affect their sin, salaries don't go down. They always go up. What some may consider expensive today is a bargain in 2 years. But I see the salaries, and for example, last night I was coming from, I saw Richard Jewell. No, I didn't see him.
Oh,
I saw the movie.
How was it?
Clint Eastwood has a niche now of doing biographies of people that are fringe, whether it be the Flag of Our Fathers, whether it be what's the one he did last year about the drug dealer.
The Mule.
Yeah, the Mule. He's got a niche going. It's pretty good. At any rate, and
I heard that the female reporter did not come off very well in that movie, correct?
I think Olivia Wilde is hotter than hell.
No, I'm talking about the way they portrayed her character.
Journalists always want to act like they're the
Pope. Look at this, the Kemper smacking around journalists over here.
I have a journalist degree, Ira, but I also have a big picture mentality.
You may continue.
Yeah. Got me off. I was listening to NFL radio last night, Sirius XM NFL radio, and I forget his name, one of the beat writers for the Cowboys. He works for the Dallas Morning News, and he was saying, you know, earlier in the year, it looked like the Cowboys had an agreement, or they were close to an agreement with Dak Prescott for $35 million. And no one like, oh, like Speed Racer, oh, everything, oh. And it's like, you know, and they were like, oh, that's about right. Is Dak Prescott that much better than Jameis Winston? No, I don't think so. And so $30 million, And on top of that, the franchise tag is projected to be 27 for 2020. So $30 million, 27, eh, I'm not freaked out by that.
I have an intriguing question for you, gentlemen, and I love to ask a little bit of intrigue. There's bits, I'm going with you, and I'm going to look you right in the eye when I say this. What would be more surprising, letting Winston test free agency or signing him to a five-year, $150 million deal?
Well, the five-year deal, because there's no reason for it. There's just no reason to do that. Because he's going to want, look, Jared Goff got $110 million guaranteed. $110. So that's the benchmark for Jameis's people out there.
Jared Goff took his team to the Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter in the scope of what Jameis's people and his agents are going to want. That's starting young quarterback money. Okay. And Jameis has put, this is his body of work. We want $100 million guaranteed. We're playing in Florida. We understand a lot less taxes. We want $100 million guaranteed
minimum. Isn't Derek Carr's pretty high as well?
To me, it's just splitting hairs, Ira, because $27 million is a franchise tag. And Jameis made $21 million this year. So 30, 27, I don't care. Maybe they try to keep Jameis happy in the sense that say, well, we could franchise tag you, Jameis, but we'll give you a one-year deal for the tag. Plus, we'll throw in some incentives to let you know that if you play well, then we'll pay you even more, and we'll be looking toward a next deal.
And then you can use the tag on Barrett.
Or you could have at least the option.
Or the option.
I've always thought at leaned, and I'm sure I've said this on a previous podcast of yours, Ira, but it might be cheaper to tag Barrett. And I've always believed, and I love Shaq Barrett, don't get me wrong, but Jameis, like him or hate him, make fun of him, whatever, he's got more of a track record. Shaq does not. And that's why I would lean to tagging Shaq Barrett.
Like, well, suppose Winston says, I'm not interested in signing a one-year deal. You got a franchise.
You got to tag him. I think it's the smart play.
Well, who's going to sign for a one voluntarily? No, that's not going to happen. So the smart thing probably is the franchise.
Yeah.
And you can do it twice in a row. What I'm thinking about, and I'm just throwing this out there. Obviously, I don't know if Jameis' camp would agree to this or not. Ira, what do you think? Arians obviously likes him. I would suggest Arians is going to go to the Glazer family and say, yeah, keep him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks, again, I don't know if Jameis' camp is going to bite at this or not, but if the Glazers offer him a contract that would effectively end at the same time Arians and Light's contract end, and both those guys end at the same time. So they got a five-year contract, so you'd be looking at a four-year contract.
I understand your theory.
Maybe 3 years of the option for four.
I'm not sure the Glazers are willing to commit at this point.
I hope they don't. I mean, just franchise him. It really doesn't hurt anybody, and you'll know a lot more this time next year.
And
it's not that hard.
He's always quick to point out, just because you franchise someone doesn't mean you cannot still negotiate.
Yeah, plus he could get hurt, and there's reasons that teams want it and league wants it.
And Kirk Cousins ended up moving on, right? And boy, did he stink the other night.
And there's another big salary. By the way, Kirk Cousins, Monday Night Football, forget about it.
Now, he got roughed up, but he didn't play
well.
Isn't
he like the guy we're going to talk to momentarily is standing by. What is Jameis' record in primetime? It's got to be awful.
We'll luck it up. All right, you know what? We're going to dive into
his record ain't too good on Sunday afternoons either, Kemper.
On that note, we're going to dive into our special guest. Let's let him sit down here. All right, Ira, our special guest is here, our great friend, a true friend, not just one of these phony friend types that you have all over town, Ira. Our true friend, Sean Sullivan, general manager, Bill Curry Ford, Buccaneers fan extraordinaire since long, long ago. And Sean, before we talk about business or cars or anything like that, I know you're pleased with the development of this team and you're a tough guy to please. What do you like about what you've seen this year so we can start everybody off the new year with some positive vibes?
Thank you, Steve, for that wonderful introduction. But I will tell you, coaching is what I see as a difference. So at first, I was at the beginning of the season, the first 6 to 8 games, you're like, okay, they're going to run their plays, they're going to do what they're going to do, and then the players are going to have to fit into their system. And you and I have had many conversations about, is it the system or is it the players? And I can't remember players being developed over the last 10 years. I just don't see it. And right now, for the first time, I'm super encouraged. I'm actually seeing players developing. I'm seeing players that are better now than they were 6 weeks ago. And it's not because they're healthy. That was our big thing. If we could only get healthy, we could have better players on the field. No. We just have roster spots when people get healthy. Right now, I'm seeing development. I'm excited. This is the most excited I've been in 10 years. And, I've been a Bucs fan from the beginning.
Well, I'm excited just being here in this showroom over here. Sean does it up better than anybody. Concierge service. But as far as the Bucks are concerned, I am very pleased to see Mr. Sean Sullivan excited, because when I talked to him about 2 months ago, he was anything but. He was muttering. He didn't know if he was going to go to the next Buck home game. He didn't know if he was going to watch the next Bucks game. And I felt bad for, you know, you lose a fan like Sean Sullivan. He represents a lot of Buck faithful out there. And now he's on the upswing. He's on the positive. I know he's not thrilled with 7-8, but he's thrilled with 7-8 after 2-6.
I sure am. I will tell you that not finishing last is important to me. Somebody asked me, like, what do you, because I'm a big draft guy. I love the draft. Like, I'm a Bucks fan. Of course I love the draft, right? Because that's the only thing we have to look forward to most years, right? So since I was a little boy, draft. And I will tell you, I want him to win the last week. I know that Steve was talking about whether we're going to pick 11th or 18th, that there's a big selection in there. You know what? At the end of the day, there's going to be good players available at both spots. I'm a pass rushing guy. So, I mean, that's another conversation, but I hope we go pass rush. But I want him to win this last game. I want to go 8-8. I want to keep Arians' winning record intact. And I think they deserve to go 8-8 for how hard this team has played, not given up, and how well they developed at each position.
Interesting. A draft guy who wants to win in Week 17.
The Kemper said 2 months ago they should lose all the rest of their games.
He didn't say that. He said you have to play the young players and, you know, try to go crazy to win. But that's another debate for another day. But, Sean, you have to name names. You can't come soft on this Ira Kaufman podcast. Who are your top three players that you like that developed? Who are these guys?
Okay, so, well, Jamal Dean has to be one of them.
He was going to be my first guy, Jamal Dean.
This is an Auburn guy who had two serious knee injuries while he was at Auburn, and he's a speed guy, right? So you worry about knee injuries with speed. And he came in, and he had a reputation in college of being very handsy, lots of pass interference calls, and I will tell you, I was super, super impressed with how much, from the first game to this past game, he looks like a totally different player. And in past, people will go, oh, it's because he's gotten more reps. Listen, if you're a bad player, you can get all the reps you want. You're still a bad player.
We've
seen that since 1976. We've seen good players, bad players get
we
reps.
So with Hargraves. He never got any better. Right?
Hargraves was, but he was a nickel corner. He should have been drafted as a nickel corner. I mean, we can have a whole show about our drafts and how.
Dean is always around the football.
He's around the football. He's physical, unlike our tight ends. He definitely gets out there. He's handsy. Carlton David's another handsy corner. And, you know, in
this. Lee's word, handsy.
Yeah. Listen, I like physical play. I'm a Bucks fan, right? Our glory days are strong defense and running the ball with aggressiveness and power, having tight ends that actually block, those types of things. And just the other day, I believe that Joe Bucks fan published a story about Arians talking about how maybe the running game was responsible, maybe some of the outside tight end blocking on the corners. They weren't sealing the gaps on the side. Was the reason why we weren't running the ball. And I watched that, rewatched the game against Houston. And I tell you what, he's absolutely right. I don't even know if we were engaging. I don't know if they thought they were pass plays or what, but we did zero blocking on the edge.
Are you suggesting that O.J. Howard is not Mike Ditka in his prime? Is that what you're
he's
trying
not.
To say?
Right. I think
I'm worried about O.J. Howard. I'm worried.
We had a Tennessee tight end that everybody hated. Right? That everybody says, oh.
People hated Luke Stocker?
Everybody hated him.
Well, I don't know anybody who hated him.
He wasn't a deep threat. That's
you know what? I remember Luke Stocker.
He was an okay fourth round pick, right?
Yes.
People hated him.
He was a terrific blocker. And he played the game like the way it was supposed to be played. He beat you from snap to the start of the snap to the end of the snap.
And he sealed the edge.
And he sealed the edge. And he opened running lanes for, what was it, Doug Martin, when Doug Martin ran his rookie year. I just think that what we're missing is those physical tight ends. And I think you're going to see Bruce Arians in this offseason. He's going to go after some physical tight ends.
All right, so, Sean, let me backtrack you here a little bit. You mentioned bad players. They don't get better with a lot of reps. Ira's done like 330 podcasts right now. Are you seeing any improvement?
Well, oh, from Ira? Oh, jeez.
I'm a bad player.
No,
I
understand that.
If he stays on one side of an argument, I'm with him. You know, that's the only thing is, you know, he'll flip flop depending on who he talks to, and he's getting his private information.
It takes a big man to change.
Yes,
a big man.
Well, that, and he won't reveal who he talks to. So I don't know who he's talking to, but he comes up with his stuff. But no, Ira carries a lot of weight in this town. Everybody knows that. And
that has
I'm
no
happy about
reference
that.
To your diet, Ira. No reference
I understand.
To your diet. All right, Sean, one more player. You mentioned Dean. Give me another player. Give the fans another player that you think has taken such a developmental leap that you're impressed.
Kappa. So I was out on Kappa. I was like, how can you go on the off season? It's like I just saw the new Star Wars film with my boys yesterday. By the way, it was fantastic. The boys loved it. And
well, I saw Cats the movie, and it wasn't fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we know where you're from, so I understand. You had to see Cats, right? So. It's probably not very big down here in the South.
Dave, you're supposed to help me over
Ira isn't in the mainstream movies.
The reason why I brought Star Wars up is because it's A New Hope, was the original Star Wars, and it feels like every off season we're a Star Wars movie. We're relying on hope instead of actually having this stuff nailed down. And we went into this season going,
it's what we do.
Yeah, it's what we do. We're just a big hopeful team. Like, we hope Alex Kappa can play guard. You know, we hope that Dotson's knees can hold up for another season. When he told you before the season started that my knees are hurting, he told everybody that. So he said he doesn't know if he's going to get through the season because his knees aren't good. And we went in him with our starting right tackle with no backup. But then we trade for a backup at the last possible moment, a guy that was going to be cut from Pittsburgh. I planning is what I want. No more hope. Just let's plan. Let's get depth, right? But Kappa, to me, has surprised me. He has played so well. Compared to last year, where he split time with a guy, I don't even remember the guy's name he split time with, because I don't know, is he still in the NFL?
I believe he's out now, but he bounced between like six teams. Everybody ditched him. Benenock.
Yeah, Benenock.
Yeah, I think he's out. He might be out of
there. Yeah.
Well, why do you feel differently, Sean, than at the end of 2016 when they went 9-7 and you were hopeful then? Why is this different?
Because 9-7, we had that 5-game win streak where our defense played really well. If you looked at our plus and minus in that games, we got a lot of positive turnovers and didn't turn the ball over.
Tandy.
You know, that is all stuff that's just luck.
So you can't bank on that.
You can't bank on luck. You're going to say, if you get turnovers, fantastic, but you got to line up in the trenches and play. And at the end of the day, we weren't improving. We went 9-7 because of circumstance, not because we were the best team on the field. We were better than the Houston Texans on Saturday. We're a better team than they are. We just didn't play better that day. And, you know, we still had a chance to win, even when we played one of our worst games. I mean, we had 4 turnovers in the first half. We handed them 10 points. Should have been 14, but we actually
handed them 10. Now, you might have been missing your 2 best players. Your 2 best players on the team.
But that's my whole point, is even without those guys, we're still a better team. And they're going to the playoffs, and we're not. That's what gives me hope.
Now,
but Kappa and Dean, to answer your question, I think those two players is a testament to this coaching staff that they are developing players.
Reminder, we're sitting here with Sean Sullivan alongside Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCampo, right here in the Bill Curry Ford showroom, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Incredible end-of-the-year offers, and this is the time to buy. Sean, you'll tell us about that in a little bit. BillCurryFord.com is the place to get started for all your shopping. BillCurryFord.com. Sean, we have to ask you, now we know the depths of your Buccaneers fandom and your rabid, manic ways of loving the Bucs.
I am kind of manic. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's
the Giants game took a lot out of me as a fan.
It should have.
Because you asked me earlier, that Giants game, you guys were all worried about me. It took a lot out. I left the game early. For you guys, I never do that. I got in my car. I beat traffic.
Even you before the kick?
Before the kick.
Before the
kick. I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I knew that was done.
Wow. I never knew you to do that. Anyway, but we got to ask you what every fan is out there is sitting around. They all sat around the Christmas dinner table with family talking about Jameis and what the Bucs should do. So you know what? You're a thoughtful guy. Where do you stand on Jameis Winston?
I think you have to franchise Jameis. I mean, everybody talked about we got to use the franchise on Shaq Barrett. I don't think it'll be necessary. I think we're going to sign Shaq to a long-term deal. I think you have to franchise Jameis. You can't give him a 5-year, $35 million a year contract at this point.
Then you're committed to him for a decade. You say a decade.
But here's my thing. Vinny Testaverde was one of my favorite players of all time. We were one contract. We let him walk, okay? We let Trent Dilfer walk. He won a Super Bowl too, right? So if you look at it, we've drafted Doug Williams, by the way, growing up was my father's favorite player.
Steve Young.
And Steve Young, right. Again, Joe Montana made Steve Young. We can have that whole conversation. But I will tell you that going into this, if we give up on one more first-round pick that's a good quarterback and we don't develop him at 25 years old, then shame on us.
But he has not earned a 5-year extension.
He has not. He's put the fans through the hoops. Between the off-the-field and the on-the-field stuff, it's like a roller coaster. My heart goes up, it goes down. But he has moments of just greatness. And you're like, if we could just put that, you know, on the field every time.
You have a problem keeping Winston for a year and drafting a guy in the third round that Arians
likes. No, if we talk about the draft, I'm on the Fromm train. So there's a guy that you can get in the third or fourth round, maybe one of our extra fourth round picks. We can get Jake Fromm out of Georgia.
I think he's going to develop him.
I think he's going to fall a little bit because he doesn't throw the long ball very well, but intermediately he's very accurate, very, very sharp, reading defenses.
Can he move?
He can move. So Jake Fromm is a guy that I definitely would want to roll the dice on later in the draft. I'm not talking about a first or second round player at quarterback. I'm talking about I don't want to go into the next season with Blaine Gabbert as my backup.
I think Sullivan's got it exactly right.
You develop
Fromm. I want pressure behind Winston, a guy when Winston's screwing up, I can turn to with some confidence.
Well, how many quarterbacks do you know that can throw six interceptions in a game and still come back out for the next? For the next play. Typically, if a guy's having a bad game like the Washington game last year, you set him down and you pat him on the head and say, hey, this is just not your game. We're going to put your backup in. He's going to play the rest of this game and see if we can get some momentum going. That's what a good coach does. And I feel like for the first time, if we did get Fromm, we can develop him. For the first time, I feel like we can develop some players.
And so he doesn't have to play right away.
No, absolutely not. Play right away.
Let's roll Lee in here. Lee, you watch college football 24/7. Your thoughts on Fromm?
A year ago, I was big on him. Now, I think he'd be lucky to be a third-round pick. He's really fallen off the map. One of the reasons why Georgia is not in a playoff. I read somewhere his record, and whenever he throws over 30 passes, zilch, zippo.
Sean, correct me if I'm wrong. Dan Marino wasn't very good his senior year.
He was not.
Sometimes actually, a quarterback has a bad year.
He actually threw more interceptions his senior year than he did the rest of his junior and sophomore year.
Marino was lights out sophomore and junior year.
But I'm not comparing. I'm not comparing Fromm to Dan Marino. What I am saying is that if you're going to get a quarterback in the third or fourth round, I don't want to get it at a junior college because, you know, that's where Jason Light's probably sending his scouts right now is
Nebraska Wesley.
I don't know. Michigan Wesley State University of sewing is where we're looking for guards right now at that university. No, I want to get guys from Georgia, from LSU, Alabama,
but hey,
from Clemson.
You got to give them the Kappa credit. We just praised Kappa.
No,
Humboldt
I do.
State.
I give them credit. But right now we're only talking about the ones he's hit on. I remember somebody talking to me the other day about
Chris Godwin.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, how many? Let's not talk about percentages. You get between 7 and 8 draft picks a year, and divided by 5, so out of 40 picks, you picked one guy and said this was a really great guy.
O.J. Howard pick is not looking that great right now.
Well, I wasn't on board with O.J. Howard. He had questionable hands at Alabama, and I think he's proven that to be the same here. He doesn't have a feel for the ball when it comes. And you know what? Maybe that can be developed. But you can't argue with the guy's physical talent. But all I'm saying is I can tell that Winston doesn't have confidence in him. You can see it when he throws in the ball. You can see when O.J. dropped that long ball down the sideline that he looked more defeated on that throw than he does when he throws an interception. And I'm telling you, that has to be with confidence in your players and your teammates.
Sean, this is my second or third time in this showroom at this dealership. It keeps getting better and better. As I'm looking out right now, we got a lot of people milling around, a lot of people in conferences. Talk about what's going on with these end-of-the-year deals and how cars are moving out of here pretty quickly.
You know, most customers, they look at the advertisements and you go through it, and we specifically design end-of-year sales because we need to get rid of inventory that's been sitting. Dealerships have floor plans where, like, our personal floor plan's $26 million is what we have invested out here in cars, and there are cars that we need to move, and we tell customers you're going to get the best deals at the end of the year. It's not fake. We have to answer to our people, which is our banks and our providers of money. So they're going to go and say, Sean, how much are you going to reduce this inventory going into January? I'm going to reduce it by 300 vehicles this month, which is, you know, dividing by that is, you know, it's a significant impact on our floor plan. Not to mention the fact that when these cars, all my cars are getting older, not just the trade-ins. So, you know, one of my commercials that I'm running this month is you need to get in because your trade's a year older. Well, my cars get a year older too, which obviously affects how I'm going to sell them. So every day a car is in stock, it loses value.
So the great end-of-the-year opportunities apply to the great pre-owned selection here.
Absolutely. Everything. So you know how you use the expression, everything must go? Well, everything doesn't have to go, right? It's just the stuff we want to go needs to go. So if a customer personally likes that Roush right outside the door, he's going to get the best deal he's ever gotten right now, between now and the end of the year, because I need to get that off my floor plan. And so forth and so on. I can tell you about every single car that's on my lot. We have over 1,000 vehicles here. I can go through every one and tell you which is merchandise that we need to get rid of and merchandise that I'm not that concerned about. But you're going to get the best deals right now. These guys in here, all their pay plans, just so you know how a car pay plan works, they're all based on end of the year results. They got to hit numbers. And when they hit those numbers, they get paid and they can...
It's like you, Ira.
Yeah.
How flexible are your salespeople right now with customers that come through the door about putting them in a vehicle. They might have a little bit of a credit check against them. How flexible are your salespeople?
We are fantastic when it comes to that, because we do in-house financing here. So we actually have our own bank as well. So if we can't get you done at the 41 banks that we're signed up with, we actually will make a decision whether we're going to finance you ourselves. So I think that's aggressive. I'm as aggressive in this business as I am when it comes to football. And you guys all know me. I'm super aggressive. You can't put me in the room in the corner. I'm not baby in the corner from any movie. I'm going to be out front talking to people, enjoying the time. And I'll tell you, anybody that comes in between now and the end of the year, they're not coming in to kick tires. They're coming in to make deals and buy cars and go home and spend the rest of this time with their families, and I'm all for it. Let's get them in. Let's get them out. Let's give them great service, concierge service. You know, let's talk about the fact that we're putting a restaurant in. We're becoming teammates with one of Joe Buck's fans' other sponsors, which I'm super excited about. That should be open on March 30th. Big Storm Brewery. Can't wait. LJ, the gentleman, is fantastic.
Is it just going to be coffee in here, or can people have a beer too?
Well, you know, we were having that discussion. Should we have non-alcoholic pourovers? I don't see why not. And we're going to have terrific food.
I suggest a beet salad, Mr. Sullivan.
You and your beet salads.
Now, perhaps, Ira, we can name a sandwich after you here. That would be interesting.
We've thought about that. I absolutely thought about
a lot of bologna.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll name a beet salad.
Full disclosure, Sean Sullivan made the Fantasy League playoffs, and I did not. Full disclosure, but I believe you were eliminated.
I was eliminated because, you know, half my team was on IR. Unfortunately, just like everyone else who goes into these situations, you depend on your starters. I had very little depth on my team, just like the Bucks.
Did you draft O.J. Howard, sir?
I did not draft O.J. Howard. Okay. I drafted Chris Godwin, and he carried me most of the season until he got hurt right at the playoffs. He gets hurt right at the playoffs.
All right, Sean, let's look ahead a little bit to the 2020 draft. First of all, an overview. What are the strengths of this draft? What positions, in your opinion?
So offensive tackle is super strong.
Well, that certainly fits a buck need.
Running back has been strong since Jason Light's been a GM, and we still haven't drafted one. So besides Rojo, who's coming along, that's not a knock on Rojo. Rojo is a complimentary back, and I think that I'm looking for a different type of back, and there were some available that we could have had, and, you know, we can have this conversation about Dalvin Cook.
What is your main issue with the running back, with the running game issues? Is it the boys up front, or is it the running backs, or both?
I think it comes down to play calling, too, when it comes to it. I mean, when I go back and I look at the games and I look at Ronald Jones, that guy is phenomenal. We still run him between tackles on short yardage situations. He's not a short yardage back. I don't know why we do that. I don't know why we bring the other gentleman in. I call him Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know why we bring him in on third downs when Rojo demonstrated that his hands are fantastic.
By the way, he was spectacular on that 49-yard run. That was a tremendous run.
It was. And you know that during this year, he would have had some longer runs. And you saw the ones where he got – every Bucs fan sees him. You see where he's about to break it. One, we're not consistent with the running game. I feel like the switching of backs and all this stuff, I'm not a fan of it. Put the guy in there. You don't see Adrian Peterson coming out of the game for anybody, right? You didn't see Barry Sanders coming out of the game for anybody.
Give me a second-round running back that could interest the Bucks. Who do you got?
Well, I love Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. I don't know where he's going to be on the boards because, as you know, the running back position has kind of fallen out of the first round unless you're Zeke out of Dallas or Barkley out of the Giants. I love Taylor's size, speed. I love that about him. I haven't looked into his pass blocking. Apparently, that's number one on the Bucks list, is pass blocking.
Every year.
Yeah, Barry Sanders would be on the bench for this team, just so you know. I don't remember Barry Sanders ever pass blocking a day in his life. Anyway.
Eric Dickerson.
That's my favorite one. Yeah, no one brings Eric Dickerson in and go, you know what, we just don't like his hands. Put him on the bench.
Would you be stunned and disappointed if the Bucks drafted an offensive tackle with the 18th pick in the draft?
I don't think you need to go there as a tackle. Are you talking about left or right?
I would think an eventual right tackle.
There are several left tackles. I personally would draft to play right tackle next year and develop him into a left tackle the following year just because of Donovan's salary. I would want to upgrade that position only because of the salary. He's paid as a top 10 left tackle. I don't know how you guys grade him.
So the guy would start off on the right side.
Yes.
And eventually be
trained. Yeah, you have Worf out of Iowa, right? So he's a guy that projects in that 15 to 20 range. He's fantastic. He can play left and right tackle. He's a swing tackle right away. So even if you re-sign Dotson, which I don't remember if it's Steve or Ira that wants to re-sign Dotson for 1 year.
That's me. I'd like to bring back Dotson.
Dotson back for 1 year, and then you have Worf as a swing tackle between left and right.
Yeah, exactly.
You actually have a legitimate one.
Yeah.
Right, let him compete for the position.
How big is this animal?
He's very big. I want to say he's 6'5", 300, and can move. I like the big tackles that can, you know, I call them dancing bears, right, which is really what you want. You want like a, you know, the biggest guy you can get that can dance. Because they're because these guys get underneath them, they go over them, they go through them. I love that about them. But I'm going pass rusher, Ira. If I was a GM, I would never draft any other player in the first round besides a quarterback or a pass rusher. I think those are the two most important positions in the NFL.
And the ends that jump out. Oh,
at where we're drafting, well, you know, you have A.J. Espinosa. He's not going to make it, right? Everybody. And
he's out of
Iowa. Same Worf is out of the Iowa. So Iowa has two players that
What's
are probably
going
to go in the top 15.
Over here?
Listen, that's where the players are right this year. There's two players. I'm just trying to figure out.
Did Adrian Claiborne come out of that program? Don't do that to me over there, Sullivan.
Yeah, I don't want to get started on Adrian Claiborne. I don't want to get a complaint for Joe Bucks fans. So,
you want a D-N at 18.
Yeah, I want Gross Mattis out of Penn State.
The Kemper's chomping at the bit over here. You know that.
Well, I know what running back Sean wants.
Yes.
ETN.
That's correct. He's the best running back I've ever scouted in college football, ever.
What did you just say? Say that again.
8.6 yards a carry, can score from anywhere on the – he reminds me of Marshall Faulk. If anybody in this room could draft Marshall Faulk, it doesn't matter what position it is, you draft him.
Ira, we got to pin you down, pin everybody down here. We're going into week 17. Okay, Sean doesn't want the Bucks to lose. Fans have different opinions about that. We want to see a good game. But can we all agree that can you just sit down Peyton Barber and let Ronald Jones get 23 carries, let
They're
him
not
pass
do that,
block,
Steve.
Let him catch passes, let him get the growth and experience that valuable reps are? Can we all agree that that's the smart thing to do?
It seems like Arians is a little stubborn in that respect. And, you know,
I don't get it either.
It's obvious to me Jones has been the better running back. It's obvious to me.
So anybody that, you know, takes care of stats, actually watches the games, anybody would know that. So
and apparently Barber's not that good a blocker either. So I don't get it.
You know what my problem with that whole thing was? Rojo was pulled out of a game because he missed a block. And Winston was sacked from behind and stripped, and it was a fumble. And then they put him on the bench, and they played Barber the rest of the game. And then after the game, they talked about accountability. We want to be accountable to our players. You know what? There's a lot of players that aren't held accountable on this team. Why is Rojo specifically the guy centered? It just seems like they want to make a statement with Rojo, but then if a defensive back, and I'm not going to go into names here because there's so many terrible ones, that just run, they're just nowhere near. So my thing is, when you watch the Bucks play and you watch, say, Michael Thomas catch a ball, my thing is right now, I want to see a Buccaneer in the actual TV frame.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Show me a Buccaneer in the frame.
Yes.
Please.
If it's a contested catch, you can live with
it. I can live with it. If they beat you man up, the guy's a great player. You lose to great players, right? But for goodness sakes, have somebody in the TV screen, okay? So none of those guys are held accountable. I didn't see one defensive back benched.
Sabby Edwards, you mean?
Oh, well, Edwards was drafted as a safety. We went into hope on a prayer that Evans was coming back with this mystery foot injury, ankle injury. This poor guy keeps injuring his leg, and he's not even playing football. I don't know what's going on. And
you know what? It's selective accountability. That's what it is.
I don't like selective accountability. In our business and the business that we run, everyone is held accountable. You can't just say, I'm going to hold this department accountable and this other department not accountable. It all has to work because guess what? Eyes are watching. Your teammates are watching what's happening.
My son's in sales, and in his company, if you go a couple of weeks without a sale in the summer, which is their busy time, you're on the hook. You have to make a sale in the following week, or you are out. And they follow through because 20 other people from that sales team are watching what you do.
Lee, what's your take on this? Why won't they strap on the bridle to a Ronald Jones and ride him out Sunday so we can see this guy as a full-time back for one game?
I guess they're in love with Walter Payton.
Peyton Barber.
Barber, Rondé. I'm sorry, Rondé. God help me. I pulled a Paul Porter there.
Sean, we've talked about this. It's a tough one. You say Barrett must come back. I can't argue with that. But he wants to be paid. You're okay with that. You got JPP and you've got Sue. You try to keep all three, or I'm saying Sue might be the man out here.
I'm trying to keep all three. I'm trying to keep this whole defense intact. And the Sieb, I would still try to sign him because I don't know what kind of contract he's going to demand. But for
are you afraid if you don't bring some of these guys back that Barrett's production will go down?
It will go down because he's not going to be protected. Right now, when this team is at full strength and Pierre-Paul is playing like Pierre-Paul and Sue's playing like, it frees Barrett up. I mean, this gentleman can bend. He can beat you with power. He can beat you with twist, and he can go. I watched that Carolina game, and I remember somebody asked me, "Would you re-sign this guy? Is he a fluke?"
Yeah.
I watched him dip underneath the tackle's shoulder. I said, "No, no." I knew right then I would be on the phone with his agent after that game, after that Carolina game, and I said, "We need to work on a long-term extension."
It's like Gumby.
You cannot draft a guy to bend like that that has power. So he's a very rare guy. What a find that was. And I'm going to go on a limb and tell you that's a Todd Bowles find, because I think that's a Todd Bowles guy.
I agree. And Sue's been better than you thought he would be.
I love Sue. He doesn't bother me like McCoy bothered me with his mouth. He just plays. Right. And Sue is where he's supposed to be. I don't know if you watch the games. He doesn't really move from his gap, right? McCoy would be like all the way downfield. He'd be over here. Like, I was like, "What? Where is he?"
I'll tell you an interesting story.
I always know where Sue is on the field. I always know where he is.
I'll pull a Lee and Ira here and tell you that this is from an exceptional source. I was told last year that JPP was well known for freelancing, not following the play, the coach's orders, known for freelancing. And it upset McCoy and it upset, you know, the team a little bit, but he was so good overall that, he got away with it. And when I had a discussion with somebody about this, it was verified, but it also said McCoy freelances also. So don't let him kid you that he was a freelancer too.
Freelances.
And that's probably some of what you were seeing, Sean.
Yeah. Well, he's an up the field guy, right? So you want to stop the run, you don't have an up the field tackle, right? So you have to figure it out. So Warren Sapp, if everybody talks about, well, we all compare everyone to Warren Sapp. Listen, you're never going to get a guy that can stop the run and rush the passer. Like, that's why he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We're not looking for Warren Sapp. Well, we are, but you're talking about a once in a generation player. We might never see a Leroy Selman or a Warren Sapp again in this organization. I hope so, but they're far and few between.
What about E.J. Biggers? You think we can get another Biggers?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I listened to Ira's All-Buck team, and I almost crashed my vehicle. So
we did, too. So
you know what it was a reflection of? How bad this franchise has been.
No,
that's what it was.
But you see, I want to finish my statement. You guys were giving him a hard time about the players he was picking, and if you go on paper, he was picking logical people. I mean,
even Adam Hayward?
We talked about that.
Geno Hayes.
We talked about Chris Conte. And
you're going to make your stand on Geno Hayes? I mean, what does that say about this franchise?
It's bad. When you pick Will Golston.
He's still getting over that one.
Listen, man. I'm
Will Stiles White.
I'm a draft guy. If we could touch on just last year's draft for 1 second.
Of course.
Because I'll go over this. When that draft was going on, and everybody knows my stance on Devin White. I did not want him drafting Devin White, and it wasn't because he wasn't a good player. It was because I don't believe in the impact of a linebacker versus the impact of a pass rusher. And I was also thinking, like a GM, how are you going to sign Lavonne David, White, when he comes back, and Shaq Barrett, who plays in the 3-4? He's an outside linebacker. Okay, you're going to tie up, I don't know, you're going to tie up $60 million in three players that play linebacker, which is basically going away in the NFL. I mean, the Bucs are always 5 years behind. We draft a safety in the first round when safeties don't matter, and then we're drafting linebackers.
You bring in DeSean Goldson when you can't
get anybody.
I'm telling
you what, I was very impressed with Devin White. The guy basically had the flu apparently the whole season. I don't know if Merce is still at one Buc. I don't
know.
But he seems like he's going to be a good player, which is fine. But we're going to go back into the draft again. We need pass rusher. Right, we need running back, and we need offensive tackle, okay? I don't want to draft a safety. Please don't draft a safety, Jason Light, if
now
you
we
listen
don't
to
need
this.
Another young
do not draft a safety. Do not draft a corner.
How about a
sign
veteran?
A veteran.
This LSU safety being drafted.
Oh, my gosh.
I can smell it.
If you were going to go after a safety, you should have went after the Miami safety that got traded to Pittsburgh. The
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, the kid out of Alabama. Unbelievable. What an impact he made on Pittsburgh's backfield. What an impact.
And a dumb move with Miami. Dumb.
All right, Sean, give us 30 seconds why everybody's got to come to Bill Curry Ford, not just this week, but when you next need a vehicle.
In the age of corporations, right? So you have all of these stores are now corporate owned. Bill Curry Ford is one of the last family owned stores. You can actually talk to the family if you need to. That's very, very different than you would get anywhere else. Customer service is important, but a lot of companies do great customer service. Pricing is always an issue. Budget's always an issue. Those are all great things, and I'm going to tell you that we're going to do those things just like all the other stores. But I will tell you the one difference that I think is above all. And it's not just the concierge service or what we can do for you. It's the fact that we're going to be here. We've been here 60 years. We're going to be here 60 years from now. And when you need something, you walk right in that front door and you ask for me or you ask for Jennifer, and we're going to come down and talk to you. That's the difference. You go into a corporate store and try it. Try to ask for the general manager of a corporate store. You guys, we have a great relationship. I talk to the majority of the customers here. You will not get them. They'll get you by email or contact my secretary.
Oh, of course. We all have our horror stories.
This is
the
difference.
Over the years.
The difference is we're family. And you can feel it when you come in and buy a car. And these people buying cars today like it. They like being able to come and saying, hey, I saw Sean on the website. I hear him. I want to talk. I'm right here. Come and see me. I'll sit down with you. We'll talk car business. We'll talk bucks. We'll do whatever. I enjoy what I do different than most people. I love this.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, Ira. BillCurryFord.com.
You know, he ain't the Jameis Winston of car dealerships. He's consistent. He's going to be here. And once he makes the sale, he's still interested in your needs going forward.
I still want to say 2018 draft, Burns first round, I would have traded for D. Ford, which was a steal for a second round pick, yep. By the way. A steal. I would have got Clowney in the third because I would have traded for both those ends. And if you hadn't re-signed Pierre Paul, you would have had the money to sign both those guys to at least a one-year contract extension. And then I would have went with Cody Ford, one of the guards, because I wasn't sure about Capo, who can also play right tackle. And Dalton Reisner was the other right tackle that was available that we could have gotten our right tackle last year. We could have added three pass rushers and a right tackle and went into this and added Claiborne or Rashawn Melvin, another corner. We could have added two veteran corners. And if this offseason, if we don't add a Chris Harris Jr. or somebody like that, where we can just, and I'm not talking about, he doesn't have to start. I mean, but the guy still made the Pro Bowl,
somebody
and he made $8
million. Games.
Somebody who
games.
Can lead these guys. Just give him a little bit more of a touch, and we need two safeties.
Well, I actually just listened to Chris Harris on CBS Sports Radio national interview. He talked about how Vic Fangio has him playing as a number one corner on the outside, locking down the top receiver, but he misses and really wants to play the slot. And he used to get to play both. Essentially said, I want to play the slot next season, so then maybe that's not here. And he'd be perfect as a move in and out guy. But Lee, you had something to, you were going to chime in there on something.
And he likes Shaq Barrett. Keep in mind that they're friends.
Didn't know that.
So maybe we can recruit him.
There you go.
I was screaming for D. Ford. Second round pick. I just could not. It just shows this team does not value a pass rush, which is beyond comprehension for me. I just don't get it.
Even Belichick broke down and drafted. He either drafts a defensive end, and he actually drafted a running back out of Georgia, Sony Michel, went in the first round. He broke down all these people saying the running back position, because you know what happens in that third and fourth quarter. You've got to have a running game. And this, it shows with this team, we get up, we can't hold a lead because we can't run the ball out.
And you also really need it in January. And his mindset is January, February.
That's why teams like Baltimore and San Francisco, I think, are well prepared.
Oh, my gosh.
January.
Don't get me started on Ingram. I wanted Tevin Coleman or Ingram in the offseason. How hard is that? Sign one of them, right? Just sign one of them. And both of them, look at how both of them have done this year. And look at what John Lynch has done in San Francisco. He built a team on pass rushers and a strong running game. I mean, he's a man after my own heart.
About San Francisco, and you brought up Devin White. You and I were lockstep. I almost threw a punch at Ira. I was so pissed one time. Ira is
don't
off.
Even, don't even think about that, linebackers.
And San Francisco is proving what I was screaming about. Defensive line, pass rush, you don't need a linebacker. Yeah, they dropped all this money in Quan Alexander's lap. What's he done?
You're comparing Josh Allen to Nick Bosa? That's a bad comparison. Nick Bosa is a lot better player.
He progresses the passer, does he not?
Sean?
Does he
no, Bosa's a better player, but we didn't have a shot
at
Bosa.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you trying to say Josh Allen's a piece of corned beef?
No. Josh Allen, by the way, was a Pro Bowl alternate, just so you know, as a rookie.
Ira, you're not saying he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have helped the Bucs.
I'm predicting Devin White has Pro Bowls in his future.
Okay.
Devin White has Pro Bowls in his future.
Right, as many as Levante David?
How's Quan Alexander helped out?
Well, hopefully your football team's a
Listen,
little bit better.
Listen, you got to
How's Quan Alexander helped out the
49ers? We have players on this team that should have been recognized that were not unrecognized.
How's Quan Alexander helped out the 49ers?
He was playing great till he got hurt.
When was that? Second game? Third game?
That's not a knock on Quan Alexander.
The hell it's not.
Yeah, I think he only got six games in, something like that.
Well, the good part about Quan is he did show us the proper technique of how to get ejected. So That was awesome.
When he gets healthy next year, he's going to join that league.
Quan Alexander.
Yeah, it's pretty. Obvious Quan Alexander can't stay healthy.
Speaking of a guy that actually follows the statistics in football, Quan Alexander had more missed tackles than any starting linebacker in the NFL when he played for the Bucks in a full season. Correct.
How many games last year?
I got to say, the 49ers, I finally went back to watch that 40 game against the Saints. Just extraordinary that they got Garoppolo as a second-round pick on top of building the team the way they did, and they signed him on the cheap early. Lynch has done a heck of a job.
He's done a heck of a job. And he's finding running backs. I mean, he had running backs going into the offseason. He still signed Tevin Coleman out of Atlanta. As you know, he drafted him when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, McKinnon was on the shelf.
And, right. But
he loaded up.
You got a 1,000-yard running back right there right now that no one's ever heard of. Right?
I feel like I should bring Sullivan in the room with me when I'm presenting John Lynch, February 2nd. I think Sullivan could be the closer. What do you think?
So you take a guy that played in the NFL that won three Pro Bowls after his career was supposedly over with another team.
Four.
I'm sorry. He obviously is not a system guy, right? Because he's proven it with two different teams. So you can't make that argument. You can't make the argument that it was just a Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks on his front because he went to Denver and he played at a high level. All I'm saying is he was a first-year GM and he put that team together, and I couldn't be more proud that he was a Buck. Can't be more proud.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, I know you got a lot of work to do here.
All right, my man. Sean, appreciate it.
Yes.
And
we're talking politics after this is over, right?
And we might be talking cars after this.
Oh, yes.
Too.
That's right. You're getting in a car today. That's right. I forgot.
And for the record, Lee is absolutely in love with his truck. I've never seen such love the man has.
Yes.
And the Kemper's a loyal. He's a loyal Bill Curry man.
Yeah. He is. Lee is awesome.
Thank you.
All right, Ira, we finished up here with Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. So thankful that they brought us out here today. A lot of fun. Look forward to driving out with your vehicle today, test driving it. You'll give us a full report on the next podcast, what you liked.
More importantly, what his wife liked.
Exactly. Well, do you speak for your wife, Ira?
Try not to. I'm too smart a man for that.
You know your place? Okay. All right, now look, we made our predictions to start off, but quickly, a couple of highlights from what Sean had to say about the football side of things that stood out to you, now that you've had a little time to reflect.
Well, I can't disagree with his main point, is development, because the three of us have hit that topic very hard on this podcast now for over 3 years, Lee, that the Bucs are terrible about developing the young talent, and that's why some of us, don't rip Jason Light too much. Maybe it's the coaching. Well, I think to Sean's point, the subtle message of Sean Sullivan was Bucks had terrible coaching 3 years before Bruce Arians came along, and he brought in a good staff, and they've taken some of these guys that Light has drafted, and he mentioned Kappa, and he mentioned Dean, who I think is the best cornerback on this team, best defensive back on this team. I think Dean's going to be a heck of a player, and they're being developed. Godwin has been developed. He's much better than he was as a rookie, and he was a damn good rookie. So Ronald Jones has developed, no matter what Bruce Arians says about his pass blocking. So Sean Sullivan makes a good point. He's a little bit more optimistic about the future than I am, because I think you got to solve the Jameis issue. And I'm not willing to buy into this franchise until I see it with my own eyes. I was burnt in 2017. I said they were going to go 10-6, coming off 9-7. They fell on their ass. And I'm not blaming the Hard Knocks cameras for falling on their ass. So I have to see it. This franchise has not earned the benefit of the doubt in my mind.
I'm glad you brought up benefit of the doubt. Now, we'll just take that again. We'll go back to the game coming up Sunday. Will 8-8 change anything for you with your mindset, your approach, how you will approach the offseason? Ira Kaufman, not the Bucs, your mindset.
No, because I'm not a big believer that a strong finish always translates. Not always. And I'm not going to point to San Francisco because we don't know how the 49ers would have done last year if Garoppolo didn't go down, and they were the chic team. But look at the Cleveland Browns. Look at the Cleveland Browns. Strong finish, young quarterback that's dynamic. Everybody was all in on the Browns. A lot of things can go wrong with these teams, and it usually happens in Tampa. I don't think this one game is going to make a whale of a difference, all things considered. And I'm not sure my partner, Mr. DeKemper, wants them to win this game.
You know, I always want them to win, but in a big picture, it's not exactly awful they lose. You know, if you're 8-8 and 7-9, what's that going to help with the draft? I don't know. It was different. It was going to be a top 5 pick, top 10 pick.
All right, Sean Sullivan's pulling my arm back. The guy's back.
He's jumping.
Just sprinted across the lot. What do you got to say,
Give him
Sean?
A microphone, Stevie.
All right, this is easy. You teach the players to win. You don't teach them to lose. You win every game when you step on the field, especially at home. I mean, I'm tired of losing at home. Win a home game, for goodness sakes. Let them learn it. Let them figure it out and say, this is what we're going to do every time we come in here. I don't want to ever lose. Ever. Ever lose. Jason, never, ever lose a game.
Ever.
All right, Sage, now in contrast...
And Sean Sullivan never, ever wants to lose a sale, and he's pretty damn good about avoiding it.
You don't want to lose. It's a mentality.
Right.
But, Ira, you mentioned the Browns. Now, the Browns fired their coach, so that was total disarray. We're not firing Bruce Arians for next year. But, you know, you don't want to lose, and that's just the reality. But, you know, like Lee said, no one's going to cry if they drop this game.
Lee, I can't get excited about the Bucks until they give me a reason to be excited.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you.
All right, so you're kind of neutral. Nothing's going to change your mind, 8-8, 7-9, but
Arians,
you want to see
him
win.
Arians coming back. Lee, you still think there's a chance he's not coming back? Or you've changed on that a little bit?
I've changed in the sense that the percentage has gone down.
Okay.
Because at the time, they were looking at a 4-12 season.
So he's more enthusiastic.
Yeah, and you could tell. He's into it a little more. You could tell. There was a period there where he looked so out of it in the middle of the week, and he just looked drained.
Steve, I want to mention one more thing. There's some chatter going around, and maybe you guys are even fostering it a little bit, that all of a sudden, out of left field, Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are at the front ranks of guys that are going to be hired as head coaches.
Stop reading the newspaper,
2020. I don't buy it, Lee. Where's this coming from? Todd Bowles just got fired.
Well, I would... Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch. I would say, I don't know if Leftwich is a quote-unquote top candidate. I would expect him to get interviewed. That's different. Being interviewed and being one of the top candidates, two different animals. I fully expect him to be interviewed. And as we saw with Mike Tomlin, who was not a top candidate, he blew away the Rooney so much in an interview, they hired him. And that was a pretty fair
He's still the coordinator of an offense that leads the league in giveaways.
Is that him making giveaways?
Some of his play calls are a little questionable, especially last Saturday against Houston.
And he's got a quarterback with 5,000 yards?
I understand.
I think the only thing that's possible, I guess, is Bowles gets an interview in Washington where he played for years. Dan Snyder would know that Bowles can at least handle a big media situation. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't think any of them are going to get jobs, Ira. But I wanted to bring this to you because this is fascinating to me. And it needs your wisdom. Arians on his radio show, Ira, he was asked a question from a fan. And the question was, what do you wish you had known at the beginning of the season? And Arians paused. And he said, that was a strong, really good question. He paused a little more. And then he answered. He said, I wish I'd have known Byron Leftwich was going to do such a great job. I wouldn't have worried about him so much. What is your reaction to that, Ira?
Well, it sounds like he was thinking about replacing him in midseason. And I'm glad he didn't because, you know, the Bucs have finished strong offensively when they're not turning the ball over. A lot of people still are upset with Arians for turning over the play-calling duties to Leftwich. All things considered, I think that criticism has been muted for much of 2019. Offense has not been their problem. Protecting the ball and the defense in the first half of the year was atrocious. That's going to be the legacy of what went wrong with the 2019 Bucks.
I don't know if you guys caught this after the game, Lee. I don't know if you heard it. He was asked about kicking a field goal. I forget the exact situation, going for it or not going for it. And I think
the field goal that tied the game.
Yeah, yeah. He chose to kick the field goal, yeah. And he was asked about going for it. And he said, "Yeah, we considered going for it. I didn't like the play."
He did say that. Yes.
Now I thought that was very interesting.
He could have changed it.
He could have called timeout. He could have stuck with his offensive coordinator. He didn't like the play. He scrapped it, which I don't know. And, you know, in that game, a lot of times in short yardage, they kept running the ball. We'll never know what that play was.
Maybe he didn't want to impose his will on Byron Leftwich, Lee. That's interesting.
It's very interesting. You wonder, you have to ask, how much influence does he have on the plays?
Yeah.
Throughout the game.
Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, maybe it was just a quick decision. He heard the play call, and he just said, nope, let's go with the kick. And it's quick decision.
I don't think the kick was a bad play on Arians' part. The defense was playing very well at that time, and I think he felt that they're going to tie the score and they're going to end up winning the game. I'm not going to second guess.
It's just interesting to me. I had to laugh.
That was a hell of an answer.
When I heard that answer, I'm like, you were worried about him? And you, meanwhile, you've got the franchise in this guy's hands because the offense was going to make this thing go. So I don't know. I'm curious how Leftwich will grow in his second year. He might take a big leap.
Yeah, it's really weird that it doesn't pass the eye test, the offense. Doesn't, but you look at the stats, like, whoa, man, this is a productive offense.
It's not a balanced offense.
It's not balanced.
We know that.
Yeah. And balance always passes the eye test. All right, Sage, look, we got a game coming up. End of the year. We will be back with the folks, of course, before the year ends. But we thank Bill Curry Ford for having us out here. Ira, send us off with what the fans need to know heading into week 17 of yet another 12th consecutive no playoff season.
Well, I think I speak for all three of us here at Joe Bucks Fan, wishing all our listeners, all our readers, a happy and healthy 2020, certainly. Even Lee would agree to that, and he loves to argue with all of my points.
No.
Look, the Bucks are not a bad football team. They're a mediocre football team right now. And based on the last 2 years, mediocre is a little bit of an improvement. Lee, nothing bad with mediocre if the arrow's pointing up. And you love to say that about the Glazers because we heard them say it once and we've never forgotten it. Mm-hmm. How's the arrow? Well, right now the arrow's pointing a little bit up. It's going to continue to point up for Jameis Winston because we have every reason to think he's going to be back. Lee, with a strong offseason, and that's a big if, but with a strong offseason, making smart moves, planning for the future, and some tweaks here and there, this has a chance to be a team that plays meaningful games in December. And you know what? That's all Buck fans care about, meaningful games in December. It's been a while.